Blog Talk Radio.
Segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is entitled, What is Branding and How Important Is It to Your Marketing Strategy? One of the reasons I want to talk about branding is because whenever you are in business, you want people to think of the name of your company first before they ever think of anyone else. And the best way to do that is by branding. When you think of McDonald's, you think of the arches. When you think of the big boy, you think of Showman. When you think of the crown, you think of Burger King. So these companies have branded themselves, and it doesn't matter whether you're a small company, a big company, or a sole proprietor. You have to know how to brand your business. And that's from your website to your business card to almost to the slogan to almost everything that you use within your business. The American Marketing Association defines a brand as a name, term, sign, symbol, or design, or a combination of them intended to identify the goods and services of one seller or group of sellers and to differentiate them from those other sellers. Therefore, it makes sense to understand that branding is not about getting your target market to choose you over the competition, but is about getting your prospects to see you as the only one that provides a solution to their problem. The objectives that a good brand will achieve and include delivers the message clearly, defines your credibility, context connects your target prospects emotionally, motivates the buyer, and concretes user loyalty. To succeed in branding, you must understand the needs, the wants of your customers and prospects. You do this by integrating your brand strategy through your company at every point in the public contact. Your brand resides within the hearts and minds of customers, clients, and prospects. It is the sum total of their experiences and perceptions, some of which you can influence and some that you cannot. A strong brand is invaluable as the battle for customers intensifies day by day. It's important to spend time in researching, defining, and building your brand. After all, your brand is the source of a promise to your consumer. It is a foundational piece in your marketing communication, and one you do not want to be without. Brand building takes both strategy and imagination. When you put the two together, you get big ideas and even bigger outcomes. What is the difference between marketing and branding? In a recent conversation with a very senior person at a financial institution, my colleague was told, I think private wealth managers will have a hard time seeing the value of branding. They see marketing as a cost corner. Excuse me, as a cost center, not a driver of sales. Hold it. How did you go from branding to marketing in one sentence like that? What is marketing? What is branding, and how do they differ? There is a spectrum of opinions here, but in my view, marketing is actively promoting a product or service. It's a push tactic. It's pushing out a message to get sales results. Buy our product because it's better than theirs, or because it's cool, or because this celebrity likes it, or because you have this problem and this thing will fix itself. This is oversimplification, but that's it in a nutshell. This is not branding. Branding should be both precede and underlie all marketing effort. Branding is not push, but pull. Branding is the expression of the essential truth or value of an organization, product, or service. It is communication of characters, values, and attitudes that clarify what this particular brand is and is not. A brand will help encourage someone to buy a product, and it directly supports whatever sales or marketing activities are in play. But the brand does not explicitly say, money. Instead, it says, this is what I am. This is why I exist. This, if you agree, if you like me, if you buy me, support me, and recommend me to your friends. Branding is a strategy. Marketing is a tactic. Marketing may contribute to a brand, but the brand is bigger than any particular marketing effort. Brand is what remains after the marketing has swept through the room. It's what sticks in your mind, associated with the product, service, or organization, whether or not at the particular moment you bought or did not buy. The brand is ultimately what determines if you will become a loyal customer or not. The marketing may convince you to buy a particular Toyota, and maybe it's the first foreign car you ever owned, but it is the brand that will determine if you will only buy Toyotas for the rest of your life. Let's back that up and let's talk about it. If you think about the marketing, and you buy the car based on the marketing and what you like about the car, if your car is not 11, if it gives you the best service, if you spend very little money on maintenance, then guess what? Then that becomes the brand that you buy for the rest of your life. And what every company strives to do is become a brand. They want you to buy from them. So you have to think about, if you have a business, why will people come to you? Are you going to be the one who offers them the best customer service? Are you going to give them more value for the money that they are putting into your business? Will they gain so much from your service that they will recommend you to someone else? These are things to consider when you are looking at branding yourself, because it's not just the brand that you name yourself. It is also what you offer and how that benefits the individual and how, in the long run, they become to see your logo as your brand. The brand is built from many things. Very important among these things is the lived experience of the brand. Did that car deliver on its brand promise of reliability? Does it make, continue to uphold quality standards that made it what they are? Did the sales guy on the service center mechanic know what they were talking about? Marketing unearths and activates buyers. Branding makes loyal customers, advocates, even evangelists out of those who buy. This works the same way for all types of businesses and organizations. All organizations must sell, including nonprofits. How they sell may differ, and everyone in an organization is, with their every action, either constructing or deconstructing the brand. Every thought, every action, every policy, every ad, every marketing promotion has the effort of either inspiring or deterring brand loyalty in whoever is exposed to it. All of this affects sales. Back to our financial expert. Is marketing and cost center fully researched and executed? Marketing activity can certainly be a cost center, but well-researched and well-executed marketing is an investment that pays for itself in sales, in brand reinforcement. Is branding a cost center? One of the surface, yes. Excuse me. Is branding a cost center on the surface? Yes. But the return is loyalty. The return is salespeople whose jobs are easier and more effective, employees who stay longer and work harder, customers who become ambassadors and advocates for the organization. Branding is a vital to the success of a business and nonprofit as having financial coherence, having a vision for the future, or having quality employees. It is the essential foundation for a successful operation. So yes, it's a core center, like good employees, financial experts, and business or organizational innovators. They are the core centers. But what is really costly is not to have them, to have substandard ones. One of the reasons I wanted to talk about branding is for one reason. No matter what your business is, branding is something that you have to think about on a continual basis. And this is a perfect time to talk about branding because guess what? Monday is Labor Day. And the Labor Day weekend is always known as the Jerry Lewis Telethon for Muscular Dystrophy. And as long as Jerry Lewis was capable, it went on for over 20 hours that he gave his time tirelessly. That when he first became involved with MDA, that what happened, he was tirelessly going from company to company, to corporation to corporation. Today, so many people donate when they go to a Publix or a Kroger or any grocery store. Why? Because they know muscular dystrophy because of the work that Jerry Lewis has given to it. And let me back up a little bit, and let me talk about that recently you've been hearing about the Ice Bucket Challenge, where actors or a lot of entertainers have actually made videos of themselves having ice water thrown on top of them. And it's all about bringing awareness to what's known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And the thing is, for so many years, especially back when Jerry Lewis first started looking at helping and raising money for this organization, there were times when the disability community was hidden away and society did not even recognize that we exist as a factor in life. And muscular dystrophy is a neuromuscular disease that affects the nervous system, and the body slowly deteriorates. And when Jerry Lewis first started, that what happened was it was like they were called poster children. And it was like, oh, these poor helpless people, we have to help them because they can't help themselves and they're going to die young. And we just have to help them. We have to do this. And today, and a lot of this changes in how they talk about muscular dystrophy. And they look at people with muscular dystrophy not as poster children, but ambassadors of what you, of this disability. And if they don't talk about, oh, they're going to die eventually, look what they're capable of doing now. That I remember reading an article that was written from the perspective of someone with a disability. And what it was basically saying is, don't think that we're just going to be friends because you are there trying to help me, but maybe we will become friends by the things that, by the interaction. You never treat someone with this disability any other way than you would treat any able-bodied person, because I want to be respected just like anyone else. And I can tell you from a personal experience, if you're disrespected, then what is that teaching you when someone else disrespects you, is that they expect to be treated that same way themselves. And it's a matter of, I want to be treated and I will treat you the way you treat me as long as you show me respect. And one of the statements in that article was, we don't need another Jerry Lewis, in that if things have changed in a lot of the people that work for MDA today, even when they talk about it, they have grown up or known someone with muscular dystrophy, and they have a different attitude than the way that people were treated back in the early 50s and 60s and 70s. And it's really since the 1980s that attitudes towards people with disabilities have changed, and people are and a lot more, and the thing is that the era of Jerry Lewis, that era of entertainment, they understood that if it wasn't for their audience, they would not have the careers that they have. So they were willing to give back. But let's get back to the main thing of what we're talking about, and that's branding. And branding is something that any business has to become aware of. And I guess that's kind of why I got off track, because that muscular dystrophy is an overhang for so many neuromuscular disabilities, and that's the main brand that everyone knows and everyone understands. But if you understand how MDA became a brand simply because of one entertainer's emphasis on helping that organization raise money to help their people who need wheelchairs, who need walkers, who need services that they are unable to pay for. In fact, I even had a friend that I grew up with, and she didn't always talk about the fact that when she turned 22, that she found out later in life that she happens to have muscular dystrophy. But the form of muscular dystrophy that she has is not the form that is life-threatening to her, and she has lived a long life. But at the same time, she could never have children because it would be easy for her to pass that disability and the gene down to the next generation. So remember, the idea is, and this is also important even in business, that how you perceive the person that is sitting next to you determines how successful your business is going to be. Because, you know, you are your brand. And I remember when I was in school that I was being teased because I was different. And I was different because there were no laws guaranteeing people with disabilities the right to an education. So therefore, there were no people in the classrooms like there is today with disabilities, where kids grew up with them and they learned to relate to people with disabilities as to any other person. So I was teased, I was laughed at. But the fact of the matter was, 25 years later, when I ran into some of these same people as adults, it was a different attitude because times change. And the fact of the matter is that they actually remember my name. And why do they remember my name? Because they played on my name to tease me. So you remember, in essence, I became my brand, is that brand is the disability. But the difference is that my disability did not hold me back in keeping me from becoming a part of society because I wanted more in life. And if you understand that, if you understand how if you have a service to deliver and you over-deliver, if you give the individual more than what they want for the price that you charge, then they will look at you as your brand. And whether it's the logo that you have, that people will recognize whenever they see it, or whether it's your picture, because remember, we all know what Zig Ziglar looks like. We all know who Jack Canfield is just by looking at him. If you are an avid viewer of a TV show, then that entertainer or that actor, they have become their brand. Recently, and this goes back into branding yourself, but every comedian is their brand. Everyone knows who Seinfeld is. Everyone knows who Joan Rivers is. You don't have to look at her picture. All you have to do is hear her voice or hear her comedy, and you know who she is. And that whenever we know someone or we see them on our TV and they have played a certain role, then it's like we can't get beyond that role and see them in any other role. That's why sometimes entertainers, when they leave a show, they try not to go back. Or if they do, they want to play a totally opposite role, because then what happens is they get pigeonholed. And in a way, in your business, you want to become that person that is pigeonholed because you want people to come to you, to recognize you, to recognize your business and your service and what you have to offer them as what they can give you. And let's reiterate some things: that you want to deliver your message clearly. You want to confirm your credibility. You want to connect with your target prospect emotionally. You want to motivate the buyer. You want the concrete user loyalty. And you can do this by branding. And to understand this, you need to understand how to brand yourself. And if it's your website, it's using the same colors. that you, on your website, that you would use in your business card, or putting a picture on your business card. In addition, that what happens is, or if you have a book or a name or a slogan that you use, that becomes your brand. And when I was in a part of the Georgia chapter of the National Speakers Association, and I also, and why when I do this radio show, it is titled Live Without Limit, and I set up a Google Hangout, and it is also titled Live Without Limit. And why did I come up with the term Live Without Limit? Because as an individual with a disability, I had to learn to live without limits. And almost everyone in our thought processes tend to put limits on ourselves. Why? Not because we believe that we can't do something as much as we have been taught by our parents or our teachers or significant people in our lives that we have limits. And you have to learn to overcome those limits in your life if you want to be successful. So you have to determine, you have to decide what it is that you want, and you need to understand how to brand yourself and your service. And also, because business is being done on the internet today, there are companies that have established products that can help you brand yourself in any business. And the sad part is that people say looking for jobs don't understand that these companies are selling their products not in retail stores, because that has to increase the overhead, because they have to produce, they not only have to research and build the product, they have to market the product. And then they have to have salespeople who go out and sell the product to the retail store to get them to sell their products. But if a company goes and sets up a website and has people who use their products purchase a package where they have access to different types of products that can help them with branding their business, and then they recommend it to other people that they know who can use the same product and earn a commission as an affiliate from helping to introduce someone else to that product, then guess what? Not only are you earning money through word-of-mouth advertising, but you are having access to a product that you're paying a much lower price than you would be paying if you took that same product and purchased it from a retail store. And if I purchased it from a retail store and I found it very useful in my business and I recommended it to you, then the retail store made the profit, but I made nothing by recommending it to you. So in essence, the way business is being done today is much more effective, and it helps everyone to have an opportunity to earn equal amounts of income. And I would like to remind you that you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personal career coach.com, and you can sign up both individual and group coaching. And we will help you to put together a plan that can help you grow a successful business.